So welcome to the e-com growth show, where we cut through the chaos of e-com growth and show you how to build a business that scales and supports the life that you actually want. I'm your host, Brittany, former boutique owner turned growth strategist for e-com owners like yourself. And today I'm joined by co-founders of Shopanova and Bloom, Robbie Switzer and Danny Stafford. We created this podcast to pull back the curtain on what's really working to grow Shopify brands to consistent 100K plus months without burnout or guesswork. Whether you're getting traction or scaling fast, this show is designed to help you simplify, focus, and grow with purpose.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the e-com growth show, where we talk about how to grow your online store and how to actually position it in a way that is life-giving to you and your family. There's a lot of people who chase after high ROAS, high revenue, but they're sacrificing everything along the way. So we take a little bit of a different approach, more of a holistic approach just in general. But today what we're talking about is, you know, if you're a store owner who's doing, let's say, $10,000 to $30,000 a month or so, and you're saying, hey, I want to grow this thing. And I know there are a million things I could be doing, but what should I be doing? Then this episode is for you, because we've actually been doing a lot of studies on this. What is the most effective thing to do first when you're looking at all of these different things in order of importance? And so Brittany, she works with a lot of our clients who come in around that revenue level and scale up to 100K and beyond. Yeah, this has kind of been the question that she's been wrestling with for months and months and months. And we just kind of, rewrote the way that we advise people to go about putting these growth mechanisms in place. Brittany, I just want to ask you, like, if you are in that situation, first and foremost, what should you be looking at getting established?
Yeah. Awesome. So where I recommend everyone starts, regardless of your current sales, is where you're going and where you want to be. So getting really clear on your goals and crystal clear on the type of life you want, the type of business you want to support that life, and how it all kind of works together. When you get clear on your why and your values, the difficult decisions and the bumps along the road called entrepreneurship in between become a lot more simple to navigate through when you're really clear on your vision and your values. So that's why
don't
get started.
Don't scale my ads to $5,000 per day if I don't know where I want to be.
Yeah, for sure. Because I've had, for real though, because I've had some clients and they scale their business very quickly. They have it in their head. Okay, if I get the certain revenue number, then it'll fix all my problems. Mm. We'll actually have conversations. Like, I've had clients with, they've grown from $30,000 to $200,000 a month. And sometimes the next month they're like, hey, like, I'm super burnt out, or like my profitability was super low and I didn't know my numbers and all those things. So yeah, getting clear on, hey, I want to be more profitable. I want this much money per month. This is where my sales are going to be allotted to. This is how I'm going to spend my time. This is my non-negotiables. They're so huge where you get going, scaling for sure.
Yeah. And I love that when you do get that established on day one or whatever, just kind of first and foremost as a foundational piece to the business, you build the business around those things. And then it's not like you don't have to go through this big lifestyle reform in order to like gain your life back, because the whole time you've operated under the structure or even the constraints of what you do, the life you do want to live. For example, say when my business is successful, I want to be able to end early and pick my kids up from school at 3 p.m. every day. Well, if you rely on yourself to work till 6 p.m. every day to get the growth you want, then it's like now you're going to have to solve for that again once you get the growth that you're looking for. Whereas if you just do it the way you want it the whole way along, like, you're forced to do it inside of those non-negotiables.
Yeah, I think a lot of business owners can be really unhappy. And a part of that is because we just put all of our fires in our schedule first and we're constantly prioritizing things that have very low value level to us, but seem like high importance. And if you're not scheduling the things that you value the most first, and then rearranging everything under that, you're going to fall out of love with your business and fall out of love with your life.
Quickly.
So yeah, definitely kind of rearranging that is a bit of a mindset shift. So as soon as you're clear on where you want to go, kind of your values, what's really important to you as a beginning starter, then the more practical next step is email marketing. I'm very passionate about email marketing amongst other forms of marketing.
And there's a reason though for it. There is a reason for it.
Yeah, 100%. So a lot of e-com stores I work with, if they're starting out, if they're doing even $100,000 a month, which is a whole other thing, it's a very low hanging fruit. So we typically have an email list, and it's just sending out one or two emails a week can have such high dividends when it comes to your income. So that's one form of email marketing, just your email newsletters, your weekly cadence to your email list. But then also putting a pop-up on your website before you get started with ads. So you're then collecting and growing your customer base. We don't want to just spend money and then not attain and grow our customer base. It's about growing our customer base. And then lastly, having email flows. So many people are on the internet talking about like, I want passive income, you know, all these things. I don't think passive income inherently is like a completely real thing, 100%. But email marketing in e-com is the closest thing you can get to passive income in your business and is the most underutilized tool for the least amount of money. So I'm really passionate about business owners creating incredible email flows and then having those built out. And you can literally make money in your sleep, which is part of the dream when you're an e-com owner.
Yeah. And some of this might sound basic to some of you guys, but I doubt it. A lot of people though, Brittany, they think that they have email flow set up. Like, it's weird. I talk to so many people and they're like, yeah, my email's doing good, right? Because they set up a few of the recommended Shopify flows. And then you dig in a little bit of like, how well is your pop-up converting? How much of your revenue is coming from email? And then they're like, I don't know. I don't even know these things. So can we give people some benchmarks of like what you like to see when you're looking at maybe overall revenue, like how much of that should be coming from your email list?
Yeah. So typically we recommend anywhere from like 25 to 30% of collected revenue from email compared to like your overall revenue. And that is through your email blasts and your flows. And that's just what's really, really cool to me when I've seen brands scale is originally a lot of brands are very reliant on ads to make them money. Mm-hmm. But what a lot of people don't understand is the main point of ads is to grow your customer base.
Yes.
Which then grows your email list. So your sales are more consistent over time, which will then consistently level you up month over month. And then your ad revenue, that's going to be cherry on top type thing. Like versus your email marketing is going to be your kind of tried and true, more steady, consistent income, which is what a lot of business owners are looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but which is nice. It's nice if you have those flows set up and they are printing money, because then that can be your ad spend budget to get started.
Yeah.
And you have something that's coming in and it's consistent. Another benchmark I like to look at is that pop-up to be converting at like around 5%. And what Brittany mentioned is so important, because a sneaky little thing that happens in the industry is you might go hire a freelancer or an agency to run your ads, and they come to you and they have like a good return on ad spend number. Like, oh, this is great. Like, let's scale it up. And then they try to scale it up and it falls flat and you get stuck there and you're on this plateau and you're like, what is happening? Well, a lot of people, they're using ads not to acquire new customers, but they're paying to have the ones that you've already acquired purchase again, which is what your email is supposed to be doing for free. And so it's like people get caught in this trap of they're giving money to Facebook to literally re-engage and get repeat purchases from customers that they already have. And meanwhile, there's people that are like taking your money and charging you for to run that as a service. And so it's like this terrible thing, because you could have all of this foundationally set up correctly on your own, and then you can just kind of like have the ads that you are running to be actually growing your business and expanding out to people that have never even purchased or heard of your brand in the first place.
Exactly.
I love it, Rob. I love that.
Why are you guys laughing at me?
Oh, it's just funny that I'm
laughing at you. You can join us and laugh with us. We're not laughing at you. I'm laughing because I started talking when Daniel was starting to talk at the same time. And then we were like, absolutely. It felt so awkward.
I was going to save Brittany because she left the studio for a second, but then we both chimed in at the same time. That was good stuff.
I came back and I'm like, precisely.
She has no idea what you just said. Okay, cool. Vision. Next, email flows, which is awesome. We used to never do that, by the way. We used to run ads first, but now we're like, nope, let's get the foundation set up right so that way ads are more efficient, which might lead us to our next foundation. I don't know. What do we do after we got our email set up?
Yeah, and I do want to add, because we talked about flows real quick. When we say flows, I'm talking 3 to 5 emails in each flow, not a one-off email that you did and then that's it. And we typically do recommend using Klaviyo versus just Shopify alone or other third-party email services, because it has really great tools and resources for e-com owners. So a couple quick tips there. So after email marketing is kind of dialed in, we're going to navigate to our offer. And what I mean by that is we want to have a saucy offer for first-time customers to kind of get them in the door and get integrated with our brand. So part of creating a really great offer is it has to be two-part. It has to feel enticing for a customer. It has to feel good for them. And it has to be really profitable for your business as well. Typically, you can see things like this wouldn't be new to anyone, but when you go to most websites, there's a pop-up that says, hey, do you want to save, 10, 15, 20% on your first purchase? Give us your email in exchange for this discount, yada, yada. And then also using that offer for ads as well to just once again kind of sweeten the deal. You're building, when it comes to ads, you're building relationships. And it's that introduction for a new person. So instead of being in the market and saying like, hey, I have cool stuff, come and buy it. You're saying like, hey, I have this free gift for you, or kind of an incentive to kind of help with that journey. So it's a bit of a different approach there. But the second part would be really working on your offer and having a sweet first-time customer offer.
Yeah. And do it not with like, don't make an offer on the inventory that you need to get rid of because nobody wants to buy. Like, craft an offer around your best sellers, the most enticing products that you have. You know, you can do quantity breaks, you can do free shipping thresholds, you can do buy one, get one free, you can do bundle offers, just a simple percentage off, but just something that feels exciting and feels like an offer. And you've seen a million of them. Like, they're in every single retail store in the world. And if you look online at the good brands, you'll see examples of things that you could do. But do it with good product that you have inventory of. And yeah, that's a really great next step there, Brittany.
Hey, thanks. But one thing I want to just kind of double down on is when you're creating an offer, think of it like, switch your perspective. Think about it from a profitability point as a business owner, but the actual offer itself, put yourself in your ideal customer's shoes and see how you can better serve and help them. So for example, I'm working with a smaller coffee company brand. And we've been working together to kind of curate a really great first-time offer. One of the problems that his customers was having that they gave repeat feedback on is, hey, like, I want to sample a couple different of your roasts before I really commit to like a subscription service, for example, because that's kind of our main goal together is scaling his subscription service. So in that vein of thought, thinking of his customer first, he curated a first-time offer that has a sampler pack with a free gift. That free gift maybe cost him $3 a piece. It's a mug. But someone would be able to sample, and then they also get a post-purchase flow for that first-time offer, increasing the subscriptions and like, hey, which one was your favorite? And it's interactive and educational. Like that. So beautiful. Yeah, beautiful, like that example. Is what we're talking about. We can look at how we can add value versus, hey, you know, have my stuff, try. It's thinking more through like the we versus me mentality type thing. So that's something I would encourage you guys to kind of shift around.
And then after that, do we get to launch ads?
Drum roll, please. And after that, it would be, yes, launching ads, which is super exciting for a lot of business owners. But then you can see you have the foundation as far as you have the pop-up. You're going to get those email addresses. You're going to have post-purchase, pre-post. This flows ready to go. How I explain the process is, I don't know, like when we're having house guests over, it's kind of like prepping your house or like getting things ready in advance. Like I want to be in the energy of I'm expecting people to visit my website. I'm expecting them to love what they purchase and I'm expecting them to come back. So let's build systems that align with that intention. So yes, next would be launching ads.
And more specifically, do you feel like a lot of these people are launching Meta ads, Google, or what?
Typically depends on the brand, but 9 out of 10 times in that $10,000 to $30,000 revenue range, our first initial jumping point is Meta ads. We're scaling that to around profitably $800 to $1,000 a day in ad spend, and then we're exploring other channels because that just makes more sense from a time invested money back kind of standpoint. So that's kind of what we typically do for most clients.
Epic. And then a big part of ads, just while we're here, is obviously the ad creative. And what I would encourage all you guys to do is don't reinvent the wheel. Yes, you want to put like your unique spin on any given ad that you put out there. But there are a lot of ways to go and see what the top performing ads are, what they look like, what they feel like, what type of offers people are running, what type of hooks people are using in their videos, even the format by which they record their videos. It's typically like a hook, some information, then a call to action. Follow those formats, make them your own because they do work. There's been lots and lots of money put into the marketplace to figure out that those are the top performing ads. And so, yeah, go to ads library, look at your competitors, look at some brands that you look up to, and just kind of see how you can make your own version of an ad that already exists. That's typically a really good place to start in order to start getting conversions, as opposed to just like thinking of random off the wall ideas, which sometimes those work. But try and get a foundation of stuff that seems to be somewhat validated in the marketplace already and just make it your own.
100%. And if you're not sure, if you want to post something like more spontaneous or something like that, use your organic to kind of test those out. It's a free way to kind of test content and see what really connects with your audience. If something pops off, put some ad money behind it then if you want to just kind of explore and play. But once again, Don't, when it comes to like your initial ads, look at your competitors, do everything Robbie said. But then I also kind of like to explore through organic marketing too.
You know what? We should also put in the show notes of this episode, we do have like those top performing ad formats listed out, the categories of what those are, like solving a pain point, an us versus them, a before and after, a product highlight video, a UGC. So we'll put that in the description of this episode and you guys can just download that and it'll kind of show you what those top performing ad formats are and typically kind of like what it would look like to make that for yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
So what's next on the journey to, let's say, 100K a month?
Okay, so you know how I'm explaining, hey, we're expecting people to show up?
Mm-hmm.
The next step is going to be our website, because we are going to have a lot more views on our website. This is something brand owners don't do enough. Y'all go on your website and shop your own site.
Mm-hmm.
Choose something to check out with, find something, and don't use your search bar to find it, and see how easy it is for you to find that specific product without using the search feature. You will be amazed. And then go through your checkout process as well to make sure there's no glitches or anything like that. So we typically guide people through, it's called a traffic ready audit, where they have a self-guided checklist of different best practices on their website. So that's the next place I recommend. A lot of times what's missing is just like user functionality, broken links on your website, your logo doesn't match your Instagram page or your Facebook page, things like that. So it can look a little janky. There's not a clear call to action on your hero image when you get on the website. Another really common thing is business owners don't check their website through mobile. Typically, it's like 80% of users are experiencing your site through mobile. So when you're editing your site, you need a mobile first mentality, mm-hmm. versus just constantly editing and making adjustments based on your desktop version. So those are some common things that I see. Yes, go ahead.
One common thing I see a lot too, because I look at a lot of people's websites who are looking for feedback, and they have so much familiarity with their brand and their products that they build the whole site around why they're unique. But it's like, I still don't know what it is and why I should buy it. Like, do that first. Like, what is the product? Why do I need it? Yeah. And then from there, add the details of like, okay, why is it different from your competitors? What are these offers? What are these other entry points into buying the product? But I feel like if people could just get that right, it would be so much better than a lot of the sites that I do see. And try and do that right away, like above the fold on the homepage. What is it? Why should I buy it? Ideally, social proof, like thousands of other people have bought it, and then a call to action. Like, that can be so helpful when it comes to actually getting your store to convert.
And sometimes we don't always do this in this order, right? Like, if you're in that revenue range we've been talking about, chances are you are kind of converting at some level, right? But if your website's complete garbage and it's like not converting well, sometimes you want to move this more to the front of the line, right? And get that set up through emails. But the reason why we put it last for a lot of people is because it is converting at some level. And we don't know, like, maybe your website, once you run traffic from Meta Ads, is going to convert just fine and you don't need to make a bunch of changes. So that's why we'd rather get some traffic, some actual data to it before we're like redoing everything. Because you might be wondering, well, why is this last? Don't you want a good website to start with? Yes, you do. But oftentimes, if you're already doing 15, 20K plus a month, you probably already have a decent website that's already converting. So let's not mess with that yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. It's more about what I'm looking for when we're scaling brands is bringing everything into alignment. And having a high converting website is a key piece of scaling and having a higher ROAS and profitability for your business. So that's always going to, we're just kind of tightening things up and making sure everything is in alignment and feels very fluid, which brings me to the last thing I like to look at. I mean, there's a couple other things, but these are like the main mm-hmm. drivers would be your branding and really looking at your social profiles, them having a clear call to action, a clear description in the bio, who you're for, what you're about, what product you sell, and then adjusting that and making sure that there's brand alignment on all social channels, including your email marketing and your website. Once again, brand uniformity is so important. And a lot of times that is a missing piece of the puzzle. And it also helps build a lot of trust when you're greeting new people. So you know, if you're greeting a new person, it's like, hey, I'm Brittany. Hey, I'm Ashley Brittany. And it's like, hold on, what's your name? Who are you? What's going on? It would get a little weird, right? So same thing with those introductions. Consistency builds trust. So make sure there's consistency and a plan for when people arrive in your social platforms.
Yeah. There's so many breadcrumbs that get left in your online presence that were made at the time that you created the account. It's like you set up your, you sign up for your Instagram and you just throw a bio the best you know how to do up and then you just don't go back. And that's one example. Like maybe you've revisited it a couple times and refined it, but there are a lot of places where it's like, yeah, I did that in a certain frame of mind where I was just setting things up and getting going. And I never went back and made sure it aligns with everything else now that I've kind of arrived at this place that I feel comfortable about. So yeah, definitely audit your, not just your site, your whole online presence and make sure that there's consistency across all those touch points.
Yeah. And brand is going to be the thing that takes you from, you know, $100,000 a month to $1 million a month. Like at that point it becomes increasingly more important. So if you're already at that point of doing 100K, it's like you should put a lot of your focus there, just making sure you have that brand identity and consistency across the board.
For sure.
Epic. Well, thank you so much, Brittany. I feel like that gives people a lot to think about. I know for me, when we were helping grow a lot of stores, like we took a lot of different routes and this feels like the best one right now. And it's based on a ton of data. So definitely feel free to adapt as you're, you know, as needed, because there are some times where, like Daniel said, we'd kind of flip those pillars, but you can only work on so many things at any given time. Probably one thing at a time is best. And so definitely following these pillars can be super helpful in expediting your growth and building a business that actually serves you. So again, guys, in the show notes, we're going to drop top converting ad formats. And until next time, I will see you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Ecom Growth Show, where clarity replaces chaos and strategy fuels freedom. If today's episode sparked any idea or gave you a clear next step, we'd love for you to subscribe, share it with a fellow brand owner, and leave a review so more entrepreneurs can grow with intention, not overwhelm. For more resources and real talk on scaling your Shopify brand the smart way, follow us on Instagram @ShopaNova. Until next time, keep growing with purpose.